Hey there, Bill. I am going to give you your feedback on your learning activities assignment in this audio podcast. And so I have reviewed your assignment, and I love that you're doing a French course. I love your titles, of your modules. You have a great consistent structure, that I can see here in this assignment. I like the sequencing, I like the pacing, I like that you've thought through both presentation of content, interaction, and feedback throughout. I want you to think about using this assignment as the bones for some content you can actually put in your course. So you could actually use each of these module descriptions that you have here in this assignment as your module overview, for example, or your module at a glance document. So I just want to make sure that you know that you should use this work that you are generating, creating in our course as materials for your course. You may have already thought of that. I am just going to go through module by module and give you my thoughts and my comments and my suggestions and my qu and questions that I may have along the way. So for module one, my first question is, what's going to guide that introductory discussion? Is it intended just to be social in nature, just to get people to introduce themselves socially to each other, to begin to create a sense of class community? Or are you going to, as we were discussing in our class discussion, figure out a way to give that introductory interaction a little more depth by connecting it to the course itself? And so, you know, asking a question that is content related might augment the introductory discussion. So in addition to them introducing themselves to each other, you could ask them things like, how do you think that you can use French in your real life? You know, how will it be helpful for you to study French or to learn to speak French? Or what's your prior knowledge about French? Or what are some assumptions that you have about French people and culture? You know what I mean? So something that gets them to start thinking about the course of study, and that gives you some additional insight into either prior knowledge or sets the baseline for where they are. And then you can ask similar questions at the end, in the farewell discussion to see if they've moved forward in their thinking, you know, about whatever it is that you talked about, whether it's how they're going to apply it or use it, what it might mean to them in the future, or, you know, what they learned along the way. So think about that. I love that you're doing a quiz as a self-assessment also to sort of get a baseline and give students the autonomy to kind of self-check where they are and what they need to focus on and work on. So it looks really good. I'm assuming you're going to have rubrics for the discussions and the whatever assignments you give. Let's go to module two. I love the questions in your at a glance area. And I think you should adopt that if you can, that format for the rest of your module at a glances. It really brings home and makes it very real, makes it very relevant to me, makes it practical. I can immediately see, you know, yeah, it's going to be important for me to learn how to say hello and goodbye, and it's speaking directly to me. So I really love that approach. How are you going to present that content, the salutations, the counting, and all of that stuff? How exactly will you be presenting that content? I see that you're doing a voice thread as a discussion, which is cool, very cool. What is the activity? What is the... I see. You're going to have them do greetings, time, and majors, talk about that. Okay, that's really cool. You have some worksheets that you're going to have them complete, and I'm assuming that's associated with the book. You have a culture blog, so they'll be setting up blogs. We'll need a rubric, and I'll need to understand what guides those culture blog posts. So, you know, similarly to how you provided a kickstarting discussion question in Module 1, I need to see what's going to kick off the each of the blog post assignments. Okay, so, and of course you'll need a blog for that too. I mean, a rubric, sorry. Let's go to Module 3. Ooh, cool, you're going to do present tense and you're going to give an oral exam. How are you going to implement that? You're going to do more voice thread. What are you going to do in the voice thread activity? You know, in terms of the presentation of content, you may want to use Screencast-O-Matic or Jing for your presentation instead of Breeze, which is now a, it's not a free tool, never was free, but it's now a component of Adobe Connect, I think. And so unless Delhi has a license for Adobe Connect, you'll need an alternative presentation tool. You could use VoiceThread to do your presentation, and that might be better because you can put up your slide and then you can choose to either do audio or video in terms of your voice annotated PowerPoint, you know, voice over slide. So you could either do Screencast or VoiceThread. I mean, with Screencast, you're limited to 15 minutes. Jing, you're limited to 5 minutes. So, and with VoiceThread, you have a couple of different options. I mean, one of the cool bits about VoiceThread is that when students view it, they can ask a question right there, right over your slide. So there's an element of interactivity there. There's also a visual element. Like Screencast, you would just pretty much see the slide, and so it's kind of static. It's a slide with a voice. With VoiceThread, you would get the additional benefit of having an icon there with your avatar or your face. And if you did video, it would actually be you know live. So there's some added visual engagement that I think would be able to be achieved with VoiceThread over a screencast. So you're going to do introductions in French in VoiceThread. That's cool. There's no reason why you can't use that tool for multiple, you know, with multiple activities. The Skype oral exam. Now, you know, I need to ask you why you need to do an oral exam and why it needs to be synchronous. The first question I can certainly understand, but I'm wondering why you could not evaluate them, a recording of them speaking, instead of it being, you know, a, sort of a synchronous activity. Now, part of I have several concerns. One is the heavy lift in terms of logistics. Let's say you have 20 students in the class. You will need to schedule their oral exams, and that's just daunting to me to think about scheduling that within a specific time frame, and you know, getting everybody in and whatever. I also think, I'm not so sure if it's scalable. What if you had 30 students, you know? And I also think that online students have the expectation of no obligatory synchronous components. So unless you made sure prior to students signing up for the course that they knew they were going to have to be with you live at some point, you just don't want to get them disgruntled because all of a sudden they realize they have to do something synchronous. Alternatives, what if you had them audio record themselves, in some way, either Audacity or Audioboo or VoiceThread or something, and you asked them questions, to which they could respond asynchronously. And there's lots of tools that you could use to facilitate this activity. And so I just want to give you some feedback on that to see if you can think about it some more and make sure that it's really what you want and need to do. All right, so let's go on to module 4. Is 4 weeks long, and I'm just wondering why. Why couldn't you just break that up into 2? You certainly don't have too many modules, and so for consistency's sake, it might make sense to break that up. But you may have some other rationale for wanting to keep it together. So it's just a question. For the vocabulary activity, I want to suggest that you suggest to the students the use of online flashcards. And there's a tool called StudyBlue.com, and I've bookmarked it in Digo for you, that provides online flashcards. And they actually allow, it's like a social network on top of the use of flashcards by students, so students can share their flashcard stacks with each other, and they can create them and then share them, and it might be a cool way for them to be able to interact with their flashcards on mobile devices and wherever they happen to be. To help them with the large amount of vocabulary that you say is in this module. Okay, so you also say that you're going to produce a bunch of Audioboo recordings on the vocabulary pronunciations, which also sounds really cool. Let's go to module 5, and here we're talking about Ripassi. I'm wondering about the discussions and what those are going to look like in terms of discussion starters, and I've been wondering about that throughout the modules, because without a discussion starter question, it's hard for me to give feedback to you on it and to really understand what's going on in those interactions. So I want to make sure that you're crafting excellent questions that are going to engender actual authentic interaction as opposed to, questions that are just going to result in a flat, question response kind of a thing, because they're set up more like written assignments than for interaction. So I'll wait to see how you set that up in your shell. I'm really thinking you need to use VoiceThread for your presentation. I love the VoiceThread memory activity that you have. I mean, it's really great. You're going to get them to talk about something that is meaningful to them and using the language and what they know so far about it. I think that's really great. What's going to guide their cultural blog posts? Again, I'm very curious about that, and that's going to make or break that activity as well. Designing those questions is no small feat. Although the question can seem very simple, what you want is a question that is really going to result in students thinking, and part of how you orchestrate that is the design of the actual question and the rubric that is associated with it and the feedback that you provide, sort of the guidance. So think about that. Those are not insignificant tasks to design. And I mean, as you hopefully can observe in our course. So yeah, I'm thinking about rubrics too, and what your discussion rubric is going to be, what your blog rubric is going to be. Those are going to be very important in making sure that these activities are well designed. So module 6, I came upon this final project that you say they've been working on throughout the course, and this is the first place where I see it actually referred to. And so if they are going to be working on their final project in each of the modules of the course, then you need a space for that set up, which maybe I missed, but I don't think so. I don't believe I saw any space set up for that. The other question I have is, how are they going to present their projects? And my hope is that you give them the opportunity to share them with each other, and that they have the opportunity to interact over them. They can, you know, review each other's projects, and then, you know, you can lay an interaction over that, like, what did you learn that was surprising? You can have them peer evaluate their projects based on the rubric. The project will need a rubric. You can ask them, you know, something that was most surprising. Did I say that already? Another question I had is, how are you going to say goodbye? How are you going to get them to kind of have closure? What is it that guides the farewell? And you can have a discussion that is the farewell discussion, where they talk about, you know, what they learned. This is sort of like, you know, the other half of the coin from the opening discussion, where they can also talk about what was the most surprising thing to you in the course that you learned. How will you be able to use French in your real life? Is there something about the culture that struck you as particularly, interesting, or some misconception that you had that you now have more clarity on? Somehow or another, getting them to reflect on what they learned and how they're going to use it, how it will be meaningful and useful to them in the future, would be a good closure. A course eval is very, very different from collecting descriptive feedback from the students, and I suggest that you look at the manual, search for descriptive feedback, and there are some questions there that you can use to set up a survey to collect the descriptive feedback from your students. The course eval is something that your institution asks of your students so that they can evaluate you and your course. Descriptive feedback is not evaluative in nature. It's only for you to help inform the review, revision, and improvement of the design of your course and your teaching. And so they are distinct in nature. They're for two different purposes. And if you just have a simple open-ended question like, you know, do you have any suggestions for the course? What you will get is, no, the course was fine. You will not get what you're looking for, which is information on how to improve the design of the course. So you actually have to ask very specific questions. And I have some questions to get you started thinking about it in the manual. Okay, I think that overall you have excellent bones to this, to the learning activities for your course, and I am really looking forward to seeing how you set it all up in your course mod, in your course shell, and to seeing how this all comes together for you. Good job.